Turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I have a note here from the Bisecrets. Dear Heritage Church, thank you so much for all your prayers and support for our family. The meals were a special blessing and made a big impact on our spirits. We so appreciate all of the kind words and the prayers said for our family and Katie. For all are such blessing to us, loved Bisecrets. Good to have Katie with us tonight. Hello, sis. Amen. One of my buddies. Amen. Let's stand to read God's Word tonight. John chapter 15. And beginning at verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servant, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. He will give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts tonight. Help us, Lord Jesus, to first of all thank you that you are our friend and that you call us your friend. What grace, what mercy that you would call us friend. Lord, help us to understand these things tonight. And help us to be good friends in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I wanted to remind you this thing that here that it is our job to choose friends. I am a friend of a lot of people, but I'm not their friend. I'm a friend to a lot of people, but I'm not their friend. Years ago, I love Brother Hiles. Brother Hiles is a great pastor and mentor to me. And I was reminded of that. His birthday was on my son's birthday, September 25th. And every time his birthday come up, I'd send him a note or something. But you know, he never sent me a note for my birthday. But you know what? That's not the point. The point was that he was my friend. I had made him my friend. Now, to talk to him, if you're around him, he'd tell you about me, and he said that he'd call me a friend. But there wasn't as much intimacy there as some friends are. It is our responsibility to make people our friends. And it does not really mean any difference of how we treat how they treat us. It means how we treat them to be friends. That's what Jesus Christ said. He said, you know, you're my friend. I made you my friend. I made you. You are my friend. I'm going to take care of you. Hey, if you're my friend and I find out you need something, I find out that I'll come help you. I'll do it. If I've got the ability, I'm going to come. Without question, I'll stay up late with you. I'll get up early for you. I will drive here, do this, do that. If I find out that you're in a need, because you're my friend. You may not do that for me. You may say, well, big deal. So what? He's having trouble. Whatever. Because you have not made me your friend. True friendship is this, that you love somebody no matter, are you ready for this? How they treat you. See, that's true love. That's exactly the love that God gives to us. That's exactly the love that God said, now listen, I want you to know what a true friend is. And he said, I want you to look at me. I'm your true friend. What is friendship? Well, Christ's friendship, first of all, is perfect. Christ's friendship is perfect. There's no question about it. It's there. When reading the scriptures in John chapter 15, verse 14, you must be careful not to interpret the word friend in a limited way. Because the Greek word means here, a friend of the court. That's kind of the idea he gives. He says, you're my friend. You're the friend of the court. It describes an inner circle around kings or emperors. In other words, the inner circle. You're that kind of friend. If you were a friend of the president today, I'll pray for you. If you're a friend of the president today and you were in the inner circle with him, there are certain things that he would allow you to know, but he would never let the public know. You understand that, right? So when he's talking about the friend, that's kind of the idea. In John chapter 3, verse 29, friend refers to the best man at a wedding. That's the idea, has that. Friends of the king would be close to him to know many of his secrets, but they would also, listen now, and this is very important before we get this, be subject to him and to have to obey his commandments. I have met a lot of people lately that talk about Jesus like their buddy, very flippantly. They talk about Jesus as, you know, I'm a friend of Jesus. But Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Christianity, the Bible says, you look after the fatherless and the widows and these and keep yourself unspotted of the world. So I'm really concerned about how people so flippantly call Jesus Christ their friend. Jesus Christ said, I am your friend, but I'm afraid there are some people that say that Jesus is their friend, but they wouldn't do anything that Jesus asked them to do. A perfect illustration of this is the scripture where Abraham, the Bible says, the friend of God. Abraham was a friend of God. 2 Corinthians 20, verse 7, Isaiah 41, 8, James chapter 2, verse 23, who was also the servant of God. Genesis 26, 24. In Genesis 18, our Lord and two angels come to Abraham to visit him. You remember that? They're on their way to where? Sodom and Gomorrah. And even though Abraham was close to 100 years old, he interrupted his noonday rest, greeted the visitors, saw to their comfort, and fed them a lovely meal. In the first 15 verses of this chapter, Abraham is on the move. He's 100 years old, but he's on the move. And twice he refers himself to as a servant. This 100-year-old man hastened, the Bible says ran, if you please, and encouraged others to perform the work quickly. He was a perfect example of a servant. Thank God for people who are servants. Here, right front row, this man's a servant. He's just a servant. I see some other people in this auditorium. You're just servants. You're just on the go, ready to help anybody you can. Abraham, by the way, he did not sit down and eat with them like a true servant. He stood nearby, ready to do their bidding. Remember the scriptures? Remember the story? The last half of the chapter, atmosphere changes, though, and Abraham is quietly standing still, communing with the Lord. He is still a servant. But now he is being a friend. And this is what Jesus said. Shall I hide from Abraham that which I do? The Lord asked. As a friend of God, Abraham shared God's secret. This is the kind of relationship that Jesus described when he called his disciples his friends. It was certainly a relationship of love, both for him and each other. And the friends of the king could not compete with each other for attention or promotion, can they? You can't compete. And Jesus is just trying to tell them that. They were already in the part of the inner circle. And it was not for them to promote themselves, but to serve their king. I am amazed that so many people want to be the king. I'm so amazed that so many people want to be the leader. The leaders take responsibility. You see him on base. You see him out in our community. There's just certain people who always want to be leader. And they couldn't lead a dog to a cat fight. Because they'd scare off the cats and the dogs wouldn't know what to do. What a rebuke it must have been when the selfish disciples, who often argued over who was the greatest, how that must have grieved the Lord's heart. Who's the greatest in the kingdom? And Jesus finally took care of it. And he said, bring me the little child. This is the greatest of the kingdom. How is it possible for Jesus to command us to love one another? Can true love be commanded? You must keep in mind that Christian love is not a basis of feeling, it is an act of will. Sometimes I don't always feel like loving people. It has to be my act of will. I wish somebody would say amen, see if you're still awake out there. It's an act of will. It's not your feelings. There are sometimes, I'm going to confess my sins right now. There are sometimes I'm very tired. And this little 2-year-old girl that's laying next to me in a woman's body, and I'll tell you, it is an act of will because I'm not feeling like I want to get up. Last night I was running around like chicken head cut off, making sure everything's ready for a mission conference, and realizing I gotta prepare a couple more sermons and realize for the mission conference. Realize there's just a whole bunch of things. Somebody call me. It was an act of will for me to answer that phone. And what I do with that act is how I show my love to Jesus Christ. And that's the whole thing. That's the thing that will get you through this thing. There are a lot of things that come into your way that are really a pain. They just get in your way. You're already set sail this way, but now you got to come back and pick up somebody else. Amen. Yeah, you think everything is done and you're going to, this is what we got planned for the day. And your first shirt calls you. Well, happy day, happy day. You don't understand, sir. He really doesn't care what your family is. I don't care who you are. I don't care what the family is, how many kids you got. I don't care if it's birthday or whatever. He needs you now, and you sign on the dotted line, and you better do it. Now, here's where the rubber hits the road, okay? I can go do that with a burr under my saddle and a cranktail. Or I can say, you know what? I sign up for that. My will is that I'm going to obey my commander. I'm going to obey. And you know what? Things get done a lot better. You call some guys up and they don't want to do it. They come in. They bring all that junk with them. Amen? Listen, it is a matter of your will. Not your feelings. There's a lot of things I do because of my will, not because of my feelings. My feelings is get on that great big Harley motorcycle, that big old yellow bus that I got out there, and jump on there and make so much noise that the police come follow me. My feeling is that I'm going to take this day off and I'm just going to do what I want to do for the first time in my life, it seems like. Amen. But it doesn't work that way. I've been planning this golf trip for years. And I'm going. And wouldn't you know it rains? My wife and I, we need to go and do something. But hey, this is Pastor. Do you think you could help me out here today? Feelings? Will. I'm glad you do what you will. You should do what you will because some people like to kill you. And that's a feeling. You gentlemen ought to be all happy about that because your wife would like to kill you sometimes. There's sometimes the Bible says that the husband is supposed to be very careful for his wife and watch over and care for her. Be not bitter against her. That's what the Bible says. That's in the Bible. Be not bitter against her. And so what do you want? You want the will or you want the feeling? I'll take the will any day. Jesus Christ's will was this. This is my commandment, that you love one another. The proof of our love is not our feelings, it's our action. You agree with me? It's not my feelings. I look at this little one of mine. For 42 years we lived together in eternal bliss. Brilliant. She tell me things. She's a better preacher than I was. I'll tell you that much. And boy, she had a lot of practice on me. But you know what? It doesn't work that way anymore. Talked to the lady today, and she was apologizing and saying so much. Oh, I'm so sorry. I said, wait, don't be so sorry. God knows what's going on. This is of God. Leave it alone. It is my will that I will love her all her life. I promised her daddy and mama, and I promised her two sisters and brother that I would keep only onto her, forsaking all others, sickness and in health, till death do us part. And I'm going to keep that. I'm obligated to keep that, and I have to do that whether I got the right feelings or not. It's a will. Jesus laid down his life both for his friends and his enemies. The proof of love is not feeling, but it's actions, even to the extent of laying down our lives for another. While the emotions are certainly involved, we all have emotions. I'm glad we have emotions. Real Christian love is an act of the will. I do this because I'm to do this. There used to be a sermon used to go around. It's called duty. It's my duty. I've got to do it. It's my duty. I may not feel like it, but it's my duty to get it done. Hey, how many of you ladies have to wash clothes every week? Would you raise your hand? How many of you ladies love to wash clothes every week? Raise your hand. I do because it sure makes the place smell a lot better. It doesn't stink. Amen. I don't like to do washing. I like to do washing. I don't like to fold because I am, what do you call that?
OCD.
Yeah. That's not my DNA. I don't know how to fold clothes. I'd pay anybody to come to my house to fold my clothes. We had to do a little wash this morning because things happened in our house. And I got a great big mound on top of my living room table waiting for preacher to come home tonight. He said, you washed on Sunday? You washed those clothes on Sunday, I promise you. I'm a derelict when it comes to folding clothes. Thank you. I am the greatest of the challenge to folding clothes. I don't mind washing. I don't mind pulling them out. But to fold them just drives me crazy. But I have to take that as my duty or my will. I've got to do it because nobody else is going to do it. Y'all understand that? Nobody else is going to do it. Once in a while, my gals that come over to help me, when they find it on the table, they congenially do it. But I know it's my responsibility. Being a friend means treating others the way God treats us. I like the way God treats me. I love the way God treats me. And Jesus said, I'm to treat others like he treats us. So I have no right. I have no plank to stand on when it comes to me being ugly or ornery or cantankerous. When I see my friend in need, I better do it. I didn't think anybody said amen on that one. So our friendship with Christ involves love and obedience. By the way, our friendship involves love and obedience. But it is also involved in knowledge. He led us in on, he leads us in on his plans. We're just not servants. He lets us in. Indeed, he is also master. John 13:13-16 says, but he does not treat us as a servant. He treats us as a friend if we do what he commands. Abraham was God's friend because he obeyed God. Scripture teaches us that if we have friendship with the world, we have enmity, we experience the enmity of God, James 4. Lot in Sodom was not called God's friend. Even though Lot was the same man, the Bible said he was a righteous man. God told Abraham that he planned to do to the city of the plains, and Abraham was able to intercede for Lot's family. Lot could not intercede for that. It is interesting to note that John's gospel, it was a servant who knew what was going on. Servants at the wedding feast in Cana knew where the wine came from. It was the nobleman's servant who knew when the son was healed. One of the greatest privileges we have as his friend, God's friend, is that learning to know God better and getting it on and getting on God's secrets. The story is told of a preacher who said he would never forget the impact on his heart when Dr. Oswald Sanders said to the Back to the Bible staff, and by the way, Mrs. Fern Gibbons used to work for Back to the Bible. She was their pianist. Each of us, this is what Sanders said to the whole group of staff members, each of us is as close to God as we chose to be. To me, I was reading that, that confounded me. That says that I am as close to God as I want to be. I want to be closer to God. I want the love of Christ just to flow out of me. My mother, she went to Chicago Evangelistic Institute and graduated with honors there. 198 hours she took at that school. Brilliant lady, photographic mind. I don't know where it happened. I didn't get that. But anyway, she said an old preacher was up there, 98 years old. And he kept the cane, and he started whacking the pulpit. He said, hark! 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 That was back in the 30s. And he said, the love of Christ ought to fill you so much that someone pokes you with a cane, honey would ooze out. I thought, boy, I wonder if honey really oozes out of me when things come up in my life. And things happen in my life. And when I'm trying to get something else done and something else gets in the way and this and that and that, I wonder if honey pours out. We are his friends. And we ought to be near the throne, listening to his word, enjoying the intimacy and obeying his commandments. One day David the fugitive came near to this hometown, Bethlehem. You remember the story? The city that he grew up in. I am sure he started thinking about home and started thinking about that well of water that he fed, that he gave to his flocks, his dad's flocks. In the quietness of his hour, he said, he longed for the sweet water of that well by the gate. without realizing that his thoughts were overheard. Three of his mighty men, close enough to David to hear him sigh, they risked their lives to bring their king a drink that he yearned for. David, the true leader that he was, he would not drink that water. He realized the error of his way by saying something that encouraged his friends to do something not out of feeling, but because of their will, went out and risked their life for a drink of water. And the Bible said he took that water and poured it out as a sacrifice of those men's lives. That's what it means to be a friend of the king. John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus reminded the men that they had this privilege and position to be with him only because of his grace. They did not choose him. He chose them. He chose them out of the world and ordained them to do his will. Again, we find the important word fruit. As branches, we share this life to bear fruit, and as friends, we share his love and bear fruit. Note the branches, we must many times be pruned by the Father. And we are instructed by the Son, and his word is given to us to control our lives. The word ordained simply means appointed. It refers to the act of setting someone apart for special service. And we are asking that of our boys and our girls and daddies and mama, that you are willing to be set apart to serve God in a great way. This is not a huge church, but I want you to know that God calls men out of obscurity. Who is this David, the little shepherd boy? Who is Elijah? He's out plowing. On and on and on, God called those men to do great things who are not great people. We have graciously been chosen. And graciously set apart by the Lord in order that we may go into the world and bear fruit. Our job is to bear fruit next door and throughout the world. He has sent us into the world. We are his personal ambassadors to tell others about the King and the great salvation. When we witness to others and win them to Christ, not to ourselves or to church or build our church, it is doing the calling of God what God called us to do. Be about my business. As I mentioned before, this evidence is true in the sonship, discipleship, and the friendship. Those all have bear fruit. Wherefore, by their fruit, ye shall know them. It really concerns me that there's a lot of people today, the way they treat people. They call themselves Christians and they act like barbarians. They call themselves Christians, but they do not even know their Bible. They don't even pray the Almighty God of heaven, but they're a Christian. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you what?" By this shall all men know. What do they know you about? Hey, let's go to work. Let's go ask them, hey, what about this guy? Or is it a jerk? Where's a good church? Ah, some Baptist church over that corner there by that soccer field. We don't like to be around him. He's always quoting scripture, but he's always living it the opposite way. He's one of the most filthiest talking guys. He shows dirty pictures. He's in the funniest jokes, the dirtiest, filthiest jokes, and he calls him the Christian? Hey, I don't even go to church. I'm a better man than he is. Woe be to God on that. Yeah, he says he's a Christian, but boy, you let hunting get on, and he's hunting. My son went to the church. first day of archery season. The pastor's wife got up and apologized because her husband was hunting that day. Right here in Great Falls. Are you kidding me? You know what? I love motorcycles. I just enjoy getting on one and just taking off, going down the road, blowing stink off me. I just love riding a motorcycle. But that motorcycle's only got 6,700 miles on it. I walk by that thing, and it puts its kickstand out, tries to trip me every time, says, "Get on me and ride me." You know what? I found out that there's something more important than a motorcycle. I got a four-wheeler. That poor old thing doesn't even know how to start anymore, I don't think. I keep a battery tender on it, just hoping someday I may take it out for a ride. I like to hunt. I like to fish. I haven't been fishing. There's just something wrong. I haven't been fishing. But you know what? I found out that there's some other things in this life more important than that. And it's okay. Hear me grumbling, complaining. I ain't going to do it. But I will tell you something. My job in this world, I'm not talking about the job of the pastor, but my job in this world is to be about his business. It's my responsibility, just like it's your responsibility. We minister, D.L. Moody used to say, "Hey, my job is to tell people about Jesus Christ. I work at the shoe store so I'll be able to accomplish what God has called me to do." My life, my loyalty is Jesus Christ. That's my first call. The first is the kingdom of God. And then the Bible said all the rest of it'll fall in place. What's keeping you back? What's keeping you back from serving God? What's keeping you back? What's keeping you back from being a friend? What's keeping you back? All of us have 24 hours a day. So Chaplain Larson there, he seems to have about 36 hours a day. Everybody has 24 hours a day. All of us have 7 days a week. Last night I was watching with great pleasure the Mariners whoop the Yankees. And I sat there from third inning to about the sixth inning, and I thought to myself, what am I doing here? This is a waste of time. And I got up and left Marcia watch it. And I went and did some other things. You know, some things I've found out in my life, they're just a waste of time. If it was with family, that's not a waste of time. If it was with my wife, it's not a waste of time. My children, grandchildren, it's not a waste of time. That's not a waste of time. But I've sure found a lot of things I can waste my time on. The other day I was cleaning my garage. And I found something I'd been wanting to fix.
I didn't get my garage clean, brother.
I just tried to piddle with that stupid thing. I should have just thrown it away. I know some of you hoarders, you're like that. I'll need that. I'll need that. In fact, a couple weeks ago, I was needing something, went out, and I remembered I threw it away. But thank God, North 40 is just a couple blocks from me, amen. And Walmart will be there soon, amen. There's certain things in life you ought to be careful about, and that's your time. Your time. You know what big time is? Musing, thinking of God and His righteousness and His love to us. Father, I pray You'd help us tonight. Help us to be more like You. Lord, so many times we are so caught up in this world and so caught up with the busyness that we really forget that Your kingdom is most important. Father, forgive this old preacher for not staying with it. Help me, Lord God, bring me nearer, as the song says, nearer to Thee. Help me to be more like You. Help me to love my wife more. Help me love my family more. Help me love my church more. Oh God, we live in a society that takes so much away from us. So much. We give so much time to worthlessness. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. Help us to keep our minds stayed on You. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here tonight. I want you to ask a couple questions. We'll be out of here. One, you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. There's never been a time in my life I've ever received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I'd like to do that tonight." Would you lift your hand? Let me thank God for you. Let me pray for you. You're here tonight and say, "Preacher, there's some things going on in my mind that the Holy Spirit is really working on me tonight about my friendship and being a friend and helping others. Pastor, would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand?" God bless you. Amen, 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 amen. Good, wonderful. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Going to ask you all to stand. Pianist going to play. You're here tonight and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Why don't you come on?" You're here tonight and you say, "Preacher, you know, I need to follow Lord and Believer's baptism. Why don't you come?" You're here tonight and you say, "Preacher, we need to become members of this church. This is the church we want to be part of." You're here tonight and you say, "Preacher, there's some things that have really been bugging me lately. Things that have really been tearing me apart. I need God helping this thing."